As always on a Friday to end the week here on RSN Central, we enjoy a Friday lunch and our guest here joining us for the lunch, Benny Damon from Main Event. Obviously, he's done a lot of work and nearly worked for every TV station.
I've got them all, actually. Yeah. I have got them all.
You have? Yeah. I reckon you have. Yeah. Hello to you, mate.
Hello, Gareth. Great to be here, mate. An absolute pleasure.
And Julian De Stoop, a great friend of ours here on RSN Central from Fox Footy and Fox Sports. Hello, Jules.
Hello, G. Yeah, did a lot of crosses to Benny Damon in my time when he was on the desk at Fox, so good to see him again.
He was at Channel 7. He read the sport there, and then he even
spent... 10 before that.
He was at Channel 10.
Yeah.
Channel 9?
Yep.
Yep. And then I remember... And I nearly headed to Sky Racing just after him. They promised everybody the world Sky Racing. They had three main channels. They got, I think they got Benny Damon from Channel 7.
Yep.
Who was their harness man?
Adam Hamilton.
Adam Hamilton. So he packed up and left the Herald Sun.
Yep.
They got David Raphael out of Hong Kong.
They did.
For Sky Racing World. And this was meant to be like, everyone was on $500,000 a year.
And it was great while it lasted. Oh, though,
Benny Damon. He left Channel 7, like reading the sport, to host The Catching Pen.
Oh, yeah. But it was a glorious time at The Catching Pen. What a great show it is. One of the highlights, actually.
It is, actually. Yeah. And now I think Dave Stanley, big Drew Carey host.
Yeah, he is, I think, yeah.
And so they promised the world and delivered an atlas, did they?
Well, I don't know. Like,
that's television, though, Jules.
Yes,
that's how it works, mate.
About so, it.
I don't think
I
it
know.
Went...
I know.
I don't think it went to plan in the early days anyway.
I don't know what happened, but I had a great time there.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge them 1 cent.
No, because they paid you a lot of money. And now, Benny, there's... You still follow the racing, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You were working at Flemington.
I was. I had the great pleasure of hosting the international coverage last week, so... So we were going live through the Middle East, through the UK on CBS in the US and right through Europe as well for the VRC, hosting a 3-hour broadcast on Cup Day. 750 million viewers, they tell me. I don't know if that's a little bit of creative accounting, but gee,
Not really, that's a decent whack. Hopefully you got paid a lot of money.
I did, yeah. It was $1 a view, so that worked out nicely. I tipped him all the winner, though, so I'm huge in the Middle East.
Julian, did you enjoy, usually get to the... car park, don't you? During
I usually do Derby Day, but not this year with the little one coming. But I'm glad I didn't go, to be honest.
You would have had to be keen.
Johnny Ralph and Tim Hodges are the guys I normally go with, and they had a tough day setting it up, fair to say.
Yeah, it was a rough old day.
It was a rough old morning.
That's a good question because people talk about the crowd, say, during the VRC week, Cup week, and it was the worst week if you're running a racing organisation. If the weather could have been any worse, well, no.
I
can't imagine that, really.
The numbers they got for Derby Day and Oaks Day were incredible, really.
Oh, I think
given
so, yeah.
How bad it was. It was just, you wouldn't want to be outside, let alone stuck outside for 7 hours or something trying to catch a glimpse of a horse. It was, there were only the true, true keens and desperates were there on Derby Day and Oaks Day.
And if it's raining... It's okay, but if it's windy and
that's
it's
the problem.
Raining,
yeah.
It's
yeah,
a nightmare. It's not fun.
No, that's a double whammy.
So the boys struggled out the back,
did
they?
Struggle, yeah.
But it's a tradition of yours, isn't it?
It is. No, Tim and Ralphie have run
so
that
Tim
for about
Hodges
10 years.
Yeah, and there's about, Johnny Ralph.
Have about 25 people. Courtney Walsh normally bogs along. Yep. Adam McNichol, a few guys that you know.
Okay. And you all have a little bit of fun and
have
try
a
and back
of fun,
a winner.
Back a winner, a few drinks, put a Barbie on.
And... The car park, I've only been there a couple of times, but it's a lot of fun. No one sees a horse, do they?
No, not really.
No.
Only if you watch it on the screen.
And so you set up your own barbecue.
Set up your own barbecue, and there's always someone else you know there, so you wander around and have a chat. It's a good day. It's a good day. If you're really keen on the horses, it's probably not the spot to be.
No.
But if you're just socialising, it's brilliant.
And you
It's a bit like going to a festival wearing a suit.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good... Yes, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it looks like good fun. I wandered through there. I saw you in the birdcage at one point.
Yeah, oh, I was
that's
really,
more your
really?
Yeah, I was only there on the Saturday. I had to go and catch up with a friend. But it's very hard to get birdcage tickets.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it's not really my cup of tea, really.
No, nor right. Well, it's similarly difficult to see a horse from there.
Correct.
Like, you can from a couple of the tents at the front.
Correct,
but you don't get any announcements or races about to go. So, you have to find your way through the crowd, find a screen. So, yeah, it's not really for me.
It can be a lot of fun. Like, Commissar Williams came here on Thursday morning and he was dancing up a storm in the birdcage and he had his suit that he got personally made with his no socks on.
Don't know about the no socks.
No, Mrs. Homicide turned up and and he just had a ball. And obviously you get treated really well in the birdcage and you watch a few races, you had a few bets, and but if you love your racing,
you
like
wouldn't
us,
go there.
No, I'd prefer to be in the members.
Yes, yeah,
see the horses in the
particularly
parade.
Now how good the members
that
is.
Looks amazing. That
it is
a new stand.
Yeah, it looks incredible, and it is inside, so that's the place to be. Yeah, yeah, you get to see the races. Have a drink and a laugh with people and, enjoy what you're there for, really.
Yeah, nice. Not to put too fine a point on it. There's a lot of flogs in the bear cage.
Oh,
let's
well, I didn't want to
there
say
is
that.
A lot of flogs in the bear cage.
It's a fair comment. Yeah. It is.
Yeah, well, I didn't meet any anyway. They're all good blokes and ladies when I went in there anyway.
That's good. I'm glad you had a good experience.
Yeah, and we didn't back a win. Oh, we backed one, I think, Reykjavik in the end. But there's a lot of people, when they think you know anything about racing, you get bombarded by people looking for tips.
Oh, don't you? Yeah.
And... like, I'm not a tipster. I'm more of a, I'm a quarterback in this type of game. I ask the tipsters for their specials.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of horse trainers in that. I think Wayne Hawks and Michael Hawks rocked up and they had a few runners in Sydney and everybody was going, can your horse win? Dyslexic, I think, was one of them. And they declared it and was still coming.
Well, Reykjavik was one of those that everyone wanted to tip you. I sort of wasn't that keen, but then at the price I thought, well, everyone's talking about it, and it got home. So, yeah, it was better than a couple that missed under similar circumstances on Derby Day. Got us out of trouble on the end of the carnival. But, my big one for the carnival was Vowne de Clare, so I went very handily. Oh,
excellent.
Well, happy days there. Now, hey, Benny, I want to talk boxing.
That wasn't deliberate either.
No, yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
It was. It's all part of the act here. As the host of the main event, and I find promotion of boxing fascinating, and the Barry Hall and Paul Gallen build-up has been interesting to watch. You've seen Paul Gallen, who's approached it a little bit differently to Barry Hall. Now, would they have been told how to act leading up towards this fight so you get people interested, or how does it all work? Without giving too many of your secrets away.
Well, sometimes if things are a little sleepy, you'll try and encourage one or the other to say something or someone to go a certain angle or play a little bit up to one side of the story to the other. But this one, it's just happened really organically. So I think it was 2 months ago that I came to Melbourne to announce this fight. And we announced it sort of at reasonably late notice because of the schedules of the pair of them. We put them up and it was all very civil. I hosted that. We didn't get much out of it. And I thought, oh, this might be a bit flat, the build up to this. But then as they went their separate ways. We started to do a bunch of media. I went and interviewed the pair of them for all the content that we start to put out. And there were just a few little barbs that went back and forth, and it started to pick up slowly. And then each of them heard something the other had said. And because of the nature of these guys, they responded. And then it started to kick off. And then it's built and built and built to the point that yesterday at the weigh-in and the day before at the press conference, you can tell that they don't like each other one bit now.
Is that legit?
That's legit, because they're not getting any extra money just because they're talking it up. They're not on for a cut of the pay-per-view or anything. They can do what they like. They could just say nothing. They could no comment if they want to.
So,
but they don't like each other at the moment, and they're willing to say that. And you can tell when Barry Hall looks at Paul Gallen, he wants to punch him in the face.
So they know. So they've signed a contract, and they've been guaranteed, despite how many people watch tonight, a certain amount of money.
Yeah, they wouldn't be in for a percentage. The promoter would be in charge of pay-per-views, obviously in affiliation with the network that's showing, which is Main Event. But the fighters themselves, they'd be fighting for flat fees in this instance. On occasion, when someone might have their own promotion company, they would obviously be interested in how it went as a pay-per-view. But this, they're just getting paid. So, yeah, the feeling's legit. They're doing this for what they're getting, and they're on each other's nerves hard at the moment.
Why only 6 2-minute rounds?
Well, ultimately, you can do what you like. So they could have made it 12 one-minute rounds if they wanted to. 3-minute rounds is what you're meant to do in boxing. That would have played into the hands of Paul Gallen, who's the more experienced boxer, the guy who's been around a lot longer in the sport. He's had 9 professional fights now. He's looked really good. He's improving all the time. But Barry Hall, he's probably not quite ready to be fighting for 18 minutes of boxing, 6-3. So 6-2s is better for him to stay fresh throughout. There probably won't be any periods of this fight, given how short those rounds are, where he starts to get too tired. Because if he were to get tired, the expectation would be that the more experienced boxer in Paul Gallen would be able to get in and do some damage. So, yeah, ultimately, it's just to even them up a little bit. It's a little bit of a handicap sort of a style event in that sense. So we'd probably prefer 3-minute rounds because that's what boxing is, but you can understand why they want to keep him nice and level in this one.
You mentioned Gallen's got some fights under his belt. Is Barry Hall just an unknown quality when it comes to as a boxer?
Well, the whisper around Barry Hall has been something that's been present in boxing for years and years. Even the great Johnny Lewis, the greatest boxing trainer we've ever had, says that if Barry Hall had gone into boxing with the same sort of pursuit that he did into Aussie rules, he could have been certainly an Australian heavyweight champion, but maybe fought for world titles. He's seen that he has a great natural ability, and what he has is not only the ability to throw punches and move nicely, but he's got a really good eye. He can see punches coming. I've watched him spar and watched him in training. Yeah, he's naturally very gifted at this sport. So if he had thrown himself in, who knows what would have happened. But now he's scratching the itch at age 42. So, yeah, we don't know. Is it past him? Is he still at that sort of athletic stage where he can transfer that natural ability into the ring? And what's his temperament like as well? So, yeah, he's an unknown quantity, that's for sure.
What's the worst possible outcome tonight for boxing?
I don't even want to speak about that because there's so many bad outcomes for boxing, and we find them all the time, all around the world, in all sorts of events. And I just don't really see any of those happening. I don't see farce written all over this because Paul Gallen is a proper boxer now. And Barry Hall has a great deal of athletic ability. I think they're going to have a real good crack. I think it's going to be a good fight.
Because John Hoppawattie was ridiculous and it was embarrassing for the sport last. And I had Paul Gallen on the show. And I said to Gal, were you embarrassed with fighting John Hoppawattie? And he defended Hopper on that occasion. But it wasn't a good look for boxing. So it looks to me with this build-up, it's treated a little bit more professionalism.
Yeah, I know what you're saying with regard to John Hoppawattie, but that's after the fact that we went, oh, okay, maybe he shouldn't have been fighting. But he's a multiple former Australian heavyweight champion. He's a man who'd had a lot more fights than what Paul Gallen had had. And while he was certainly past it, he's still fighting now, John Hoppawattie.
Well, he shouldn't be.
No, he most certainly
hopefully
shouldn't.
Hopefully he's not listening to this show, Bob.
He won't be listening to the show. But he most certainly shouldn't be. But it didn't turn out that he was in the race. But we saw that Paul Gallen is brutal when he wants to get inside and get someone hurt, and he'll be trying to do exactly what he did to John Hoppawattie in this fight with Barry Hall. And yeah, this does feel like a big event. This is certainly don't get me wrong, that fight went pretty well. John Hoppawattie against Paul Gallen. There was a lot of talk, particularly from John Hoppawattie in the lead up to that. It was very spicy and it got people interested, and it went really well in pubs and clubs and homes as well. But yeah, this one's going to the next level, and that's because you've got all of the AFL states who are right behind Barry Hall.
On the other end of the scale, with Paul Gallen, I mean, watching him play Origin, he just gets hit and he keeps getting back up.
That's the beauty
of it. Can Barry Hall knock him out?
Well,
Is it possible?
In terms of the aesthetics of this fight, you would think that we've got the big, tall Barry Hall, who says he's 6'4", but he looks bigger than that to me. He's got the much shorter Paul Gallen in front of him, who wants to get inside. Paul Gallen's got shorter arms than Barry Hall. He has to get in close to be able to punch him. That's the simple fact of it. So Barry Hall should be keeping on his jab, using his long left hand to punch Paul Gallen so he can't get inside and throw his shots and start to cause damage. But Barry Hall will not only need to jab him, he's going to have to hit him with big right hands as well, because if you don't hurt Paul Gallen, he's just going to keep coming at you. He doesn't care. He likes getting punched in the face. He quite enjoys it. He'll do that in a fight. He'll take punishment in order to get inside and hurt you. So we don't know. We don't know if Barry Hall can punch hard enough. You'd think he can, looking at him. You'd think he can hurt Paul Gallen. But, gee, even when Paul Gallen has been hit flush by proper boxers, he's got up or he's kept going forward and he's finished him off.
It's a perfect fight in a way, because big bad Barry Hall was obviously with that punch on Brent Stake. And it wasn't great on the behalf of Barry Hall. But when you talk about promoting a boxing fight, that helps the cause. And Paul Gallen's always rated himself as a boxer, and he's proven that as he led New South Wales out on several occasions. And he sort of nearly attacked this fight like he did when he captained New South Wales. He used to really be chirpy before a State of Origin match against Queensland. And unfortunately for Gal, I think he captained that side to about 8 series, and they only won one. And they got punched up, basically, by a star-studded Queensland lineup. So, and the two-minute rounds has to suit Hall in a way, because he used to be okay in the forward line with his...
He had a good tank.
Did he have a
good tank, but he was quick off the mark. But he's probably more of an explosive athlete than a...
Where Gallen used to really wear down his opposition, didn't he? He used to play nearly 80 minutes as a front rower and have 40 tackles a game.
That's the beauty of him. He's just so tough and he's so fit and he'll keep going. So he's not a one-punch knockout specialist either, Paul Gallen. He doesn't have that one punch that's going to stop you. But he does have the ability to wear you down and to just keep going and keep going until he's broken you. And what we don't know is the temperament of Barry Hall as a boxer. We know about his temperament as an AFL player, but while he would be best advised, you would think, to use his length and use his boxing ability, when he gets out there and the bell rings, given he's obviously decided that he doesn't much like Paul Gallen, is he going to try and box? Or does he try and cross the ring and make a statement early and use his anger and try and give away that distance and just throw himself into this fight? So I think after about 30 seconds of this fight, we'll know exactly how it's going to play out. Either they're just going to go to war or Barry Hall is going to try and box him.
So is the Herald Sun article today right? Will the winner fight Sonny Bill Williams?
Well, there's every chance. Sonny Bill Williams is a big money fight. Obviously, he's a huge name.
How does Toronto feel about that?
They've given him the out in the contract, apparently, to take a fight. So
well, he would have 10 mil.
Yeah, but he probably makes more money boxing, wouldn't he?
Well, it would depend.
More than 10 mil.
Like, I don't know how it would work. There's every chance he would make a lot of money for a fight against the winner. If this is a really good fight, then, you would want to see the winner fight against someone who's a big name pretty soon. And, yeah, that's the fight that everyone's been talking about. We've been talking about Gallen v. Sonny Bill Williams for 5 years, more probably, but it hasn't been able to happen. And while Paul Gallen has been desperate for that fight to happen, Sonny Bill and his team have been less so inclined. But, if the money gets that big, I would not be surprised if we do see that fight at some stage.
This is the Friday Lunch with Gareth Hall, Julian De Stoop, and my Ben Damon here on RSN Central. Hey, Benny, what about why doesn't Sonny Bill want to fight Gallen?
Well, I think he's had a bigger fish to fry. It's like he's played for the All Blacks and he's gone around the world earning squillions to play for whoever he wants for as long as he likes. And now he's signed this huge Toronto contract as well. But ultimately, the last time that we saw Sonny Bill in a boxing ring, he didn't look that flash. He fought against Franz Boitzer. It's a long way back and there were some controversies in that fight. And I spoke to him in the ring immediately after that fight and I just got the impression that he thought, oh, this is too hard. I'd rather go back to footy. But maybe as the years have gone on, he's got such a great natural physique for boxing and for anything, really. And with all the money that's being talked about and how fit he keeps himself, how strong he is, maybe he's started to talk himself into it. And he does have a manager who's very keen to make the maximum cash for him throughout the course of his career. So if there's an opportunity to negotiate that fight, he'll be chucking him in.
But you think Gallen would beat him?
I think the winner of this fight would go into a fight with Sonny Bill Williams as a favourite, certainly, yeah.
Who wins tonight?
I would be inclined to think that we do see Barry Hall stay at length for a couple of rounds, box nicely. The great question is, how good is he? Maybe he is better than we all think. He's as good as they've said, and he can do it for six rounds. He can win this fight on points, or he can throw big right hands and break down Paul Gallen. But I'd be inclined to think that at some stage, Paul Gallen is going to get close enough to Barry Hall to throw big shots to the body and over the top. Maybe he wins the fight, and who knows, maybe he does enough to break him down and stop him.
It reminds me of a nine-year-old gelding having its first start that won a trial when he was three and bolted home. We haven't seen him for 7 years.
That's exactly what it is, and we just don't know. We don't know if the legs are still there. We don't know what he's sort of been doing in a racing boxing sense over that time. We don't know what his temperament's like. Maybe he shies at the post. Like we just don't know what happens in this fight. And that's what makes it fascinating. That's the theatre of boxing. We've got so many what-ifs. There's so many storylines that could play out. Maybe Barry Hall wins this fight, looks spectacular, knocks out Sonny B. Williams, and then goes off and tries to fight against legitimate heavyweights. Who knows what happens?
And this is the Friday Lunch here on RSN Central. You're with Benny Damon, Julian De Stoop, and Gareth Hall. Ben, how many people will be watching tonight? Do you know the numbers? How do you judge that? Is it a success? Is it a failure? What are you predicting? And do they come really late?
Yeah, they certainly do. So we don't know. We wait until after to know how successful it has been. But all indications are that this is going to do very, very well. Certainly in pubs and clubs who lock in a little bit earlier, it's going to be a really big event. There's a lot of venues who've got this fight. And certainly what has helped, and we've found this a few times, is when you can find a Friday night in particular where there's not a great deal of live sport on, people go, oh, okay, I'm going to get people into my venue, I'm going to put on the fights, and we'll make a big night of it, we'll advertise it, put the posters up nice and early, and that's happened again here, and this is one of those fights that maybe you do want to watch in a pub. So it's got that sort of feel to it, but then a lot of people are going to be getting on MainEvent.com a little bit later on today and booking the fight, getting friends around or ringing up the number, and it's going to be a success, certainly for Main Event, and the promoters, well, they've got to make the money back that they've spent on getting these fighters in the ring, but I think they'll be pretty confident it's going to be a success for them.
So
as well.
Danny Green's the promoter of this fight.
He's the face of the promotion,
So how does he make money? Obviously, he's got some experience with this. He's worked with a lot of promoters over the years. So how much... So if take us through what Danny Green is going through and how much money he might have spent in preparation for this fight. And would he be nervous right now?
Well, Danny Green's the face of this promotion. There are some people with some very deep pockets behind him who are supporting him. They've managed to get these two fighters into the ring. They've had to pay them a pretty penny in order to do so. They've got to pay for the undercard as well. All the bits and pieces that go around putting on an event. The venue, obviously, and setting it up and all the flights and accommodation, everything like that. Then you try and you make your cash back. Obviously, selling tickets, selling pay-per-views is a massive part of it, probably the most important. And then you get sponsorships as well from here and there and everywhere and that sort of thing and whatever other deals you can do. And at the end of it all, you hope that the money is bigger that's come in than's gone out. So they've put in a lot of money, but it's turned into a big event. The coverage is massive right through the country. Here in Victoria, obviously, all over the papers and the radio, we're talking about it here and everywhere else. So every indication is that they should do pretty well. And with a new, essentially, promotional outfit that's trying to make a bit of noise, they've gone in hard with two very big names. And so far, it looks like they'll make their money back and probably make an earn as well. And they'll look to keep going with some big events going forward.
Is this what Danny wants to do? Does he want to be a promoter?
I think Danny wants to do a lot of things. He's very passionate about everything, really. He's got his gyms. He's got his finger in all sorts of pies. He's obviously deeply invested in the One Punch Coward's Punch campaign. He would love for this to be a success and he can roll on and on. They're probably in the Barry Hall camp, really, because Paul Gallen has affiliations with other promoters, but Barry Hall, he's with them. So if Barry Hall were to win, they would be looking to put on this Sunnybill event, and then they would look to put on big events going forward.
The only problem I probably have with Danny Green is that I thought he could have done the weigh-in a little bit better there yesterday, because if I'm Danny Green, I'm telling Gal or Barry just to
physicality?
Maybe put one on his chin early doors. Well, just a little bit of a feather.
Nothing to do with me, this one. Usually I host those events, but Danny had his international ring announcer there, Jimmy Lennon Jr., lovely fella who's come over, and they did that together. I'm inclined to think those sorts of fireworks don't hurt, but we'll default to Danny's thinking on this one.
What's been the biggest ever fight that you've covered?
I've done some massive ones internationally, but yeah, the biggest fight and the biggest buzz certainly that I've ever had in the sport of boxing was Jeff Horn beating Manny Pacquiao in front of 50,000 people at Suncorp Stadium. Just an incredible sporting event and such a story with Jeff Horn, whose journey obviously we knew quite well at that point, who was fighting against a legend in Manny Pacquiao. No one in the world gave him a chance, and he went out there in front of his friends and family and 50,000 Queenslanders and bashed up one of the greatest of all time. And to get in the ring with him all bruised and bloodied afterwards with a huge cut over his eye and the other eye closing and him crying and just seeing what it meant and what it meant to the sport in this country as well. That's as big as it got. It was just a phenomenal day.
You mentioned all the stories about Barry Hall that have been going around for so many years. Is there anyone else in AFL that we've heard of that could be a boxer, or
you tell me. I don't know.
No, I'm trying to think of anyone.
Tell me, because we're always in the market.
I can't think of anyone.
I know a few. I might text someone. Any of the Burgess brothers can go a little bit in the rugby league. In the AFL scene,
like, I don't think...
Well, we had one of the Burgess brothers in a fight that I called recently at Luna Park on Fox Sports. Was it Luke?
Yes,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, yep. Luke fought against Bo Champion. And they weren't superstars.
No.
But at the end of, I think, the first round, Bo Champion tore his bicep, and that was the end of things, and it was a gruesome injury. But, I'm not sure.
Maybe not then. There'd have to be, I think, a few of the Indigenous boys.
Michael Long was good in his day. Jake Melksham, they always talk about, because he had some fights as a youngster.
Okay. What about the push-up king?
I'm not sure about the push-up,
no,
King.
There would be someone out
there. There'd
have
to be someone at Clubland that can really box.
And obviously, I think there'll be a few players looking at it if they can see that Barry Hall and Paul Gallen are getting, what, $600,000 just to turn up on a Friday night.
Yeah, no doubt at all. It's a great option for those players who are looking to make some really good cash because, yeah, if you can make these rivalries, you can get mainstream attention, then it can be very lucrative. And, there's a rugby league player in Justin Hodges who's trying to have a bit of a crack, and he's fighting again on December the 6th on the undercard of Tim Zoo, Jack Brubaker on main event. So we'll see him go around again. He'll be stepping up the level of his opposition, and he'd be looking to get into a fight with the winner of this one as well. So, yeah, there's some big cross-code fights or mainstream fights to be made.
How much bigger is it if you've got an AFL person versus an NRL person compared to when you've had the two NRL guys boxing before?
Well, we'll know after tonight, but yeah, it certainly helped, Jules, because, yeah, you want to get mainstream coverage in all those markets. So if you can get on the front page and the back page of the newspapers in Melbourne as well as Sydney and Brisbane, yeah, it's going to help.
I reckon we should go the other way and get some journalists, like, I don't know. wouldn't that be great? Like Damien Barrett.
You think they could box,
and Robert. No.
You think they could box?
It would be fun to watch them bash each other up in a way.
I'll tell you who I want.
Embarrassing.
Who? I would love to see
Paul Kent,
Nick Kyrgios, or Bernard Tomic go into it.
Yeah.
I think that's the way forward.
Who else could we get?
Did you see Bernard Tomic on Celebrity?
I didn't.
He had no intestinal fortitude at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, right. That's all right. He can get to the ring. We'll see what happens afterwards. Maybe it just comes out of him. We'll just...
Hey, maybe he can't get a victory on the tour and the tennis and the $600,000.
I think Nick Kyrgios would have a bit of game.
He'd have
him, right?
Yeah, he'd be better.
He might be all talk, but
Tomic wouldn't even turn up.
What about in the journos, like even, say, the rivalry between Sydney and Melbourne racing? That could be interesting.
I don't know if we're going to do many pay-per-views, but maybe we can
you never know.
A bit of fun. We can have a crack.
What's the biggest pay-per-view box? Is it the Pacquiao Horn fight?
The biggest pay-per-view.
The
biggest, I think it's still Anthony Mundine, Danny Green 1.
Yeah,
that was the biggest.
Huge.
Yeah, that was a rivalry that sort of, it surpassed anything that an individual boxer could do because, you know, Anthony Mundine was an extremely gifted boxer, very outspoken, and Danny Green was sort of waiting in the wings. He got his opportunity to be the counterpoint of Anthony Mundine, and yeah, he knows that that's what helped his career no end. And that rivalry was just enormous, and it did huge numbers.
That's the famous Tony Jones fight there.
Yeah, can we... This is a wonderful story, Benny. 0416905052. If you want to enjoy the conversation or know a story like this.
Were you there that night?
I was there.
Yeah, I was there.
I was a kid growing up in Western Victoria, and obviously I'd been knocking on Tony Jones's door for a little while to get a gig maybe into the city. And so the gig that they got me was the producer of the Sunday show, and then obviously the Sam Newman, I forgot the show's name, Gary Lyon and James Brayshaw did. I did the sports
update. Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't last too long.
Yeah, I was pretty sure.
Anyway, Tony Jones organised this fight night between Mundine and Green. And I was really nervous because I knew there was people there that some of the big names, you know, Jules DeStoop and the news team at Channel 9, and I was trying to get into the door, would be there. And I thought, this would be a good opportunity to network. And so I headed down from Ballarat to Tony's place. Anyway, I get there and it's $10 to get in.
Put a cover charge on.
No, $10.
Yeah.
For food too, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
For the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
For the pay-per-view.
How many people did he have? Yeah, it would have been $50 or something, wouldn't he? So he's making an earn.
He made money.
He would have had 50 people then.
He made money. Now,
good on him.
Does he deny this?
No, he doesn't deny it.
No.
I think he blames his wife for the cover charge, but I remember forking out $10.
Yeah.
Because he's got some grief for it over the years. Too.
He has, hasn't he?
It wasn't worth it long term.
So he should.
It wasn't really, and I sat in the corner too nervous to speak to anyone.
Yeah, so no value for money.
No,
for you,
and I had a VB stubby.
and party pies or something?
Maybe.
Just nothing barbecue. Gone, I think it was but stock's down at barbecue.
Yeah,
a couple of salads.
Okay.
So that was a funny story. Any Given Sunday was the show. There you go. It was a great show,
that's
Any Given Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, it was great
turning
show.
Back the clock. But it's a famous story, and I guess there's mates that think, well, I can make some money out of this. Because how much does it cost to watch you?
I think it's is it 50? I should know this. I think it's $50 tonight. I think, yeah, or maybe it's 60. Somewhere in that vicinity.
I remember he was on Triple M at the time, Gareth, and they got a few of the boys from Channel 9 back to ring up and pretend that, you know, I'm only on $20,000 a year. I really wanted to see this fight, but I couldn't afford the $10 to go around to Tony's. he really got angry about it.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Brian Taylor's. I heard there was a turnstile. There's actually a turnstile at your place.
He's worth $25 million. Now, what drug? There are a few estimates. I've got to read these out. Some having a crack at you, I think, here, Ben.
Perfect.
What drugs?
I'm used to this.
Is the main event guy on, which is Benny Damon.
Thank you.
Both of these ex-footballers will never amount to anything in the ring, and this is as bad as KSI v. Logan last week in Los Angeles. Garbage and disrespectful to the guys who are actually good pro fighters.
The guys like the guys in the main event, Andrew Maloney and Elton Dahari tonight, who are fighting for a version of the world title, the interim WBA super flyweight world title, which will come on after you see Hall v. Gallen on main event and live at Margaret Court Arena. So a magnificent opportunity for Andrew Maloney, who's one of the most promising young boxers, undefeated, 20-0, 28 years of age, and really on the rise. And this is our chance to get him a mainstream audience. So he goes from fighting in relative obscurity to headlining a card that'll have eyeballs right around this country, live on ESPN in the US and through various other networks as well. It's a massive opportunity for Australian boxing, and Andrew Maloney knows that.
How much do those flyweights weigh? I saw them on the news last night.
53.5 kilos.
It's unbelievable. There should be a little bit of a doco as well, say on a jockey and a fighter preparing for a bout, because people don't realise these boxers, a little bit different to a jock, where a jock has to waste until they perform in a race, where a boxer, especially last time Jeff Horn fought, it was fascinating to watch because he basically wasted too hard, didn't he?
The problem was he fought above his natural weight last time. But prior to that, has had to really waste down. And yeah, you see it time and time again with boxers. And how it works is that 24 hours out, you weigh in. After that, unless there's another clause in the contract, you can pretty much put on back whatever on you want. But the jockeys, obviously, they have to weigh back in and out after races. So that's very difficult. But there's a lot of similarities in the preparation. There's a lot of that water weight that comes out. Similar diets, not much fun.
Conor
mood
McGregor
swings.
Proved that in his stocko. Yeah, when he was fighting, I think it was a big fight. The stresses that he went through to waste to make sure that he makes weight, and then he could eat whatever he wanted to. But I found that fascinating.
Oh, yeah. It's a really unpleasant part of the process. If you talk to most professional boxers, they go, I don't actually mind the fighting bit, but losing the weight, it is just the worst.
Afternoon, Big Nelson looked like he could hold his own. That's from Tony. Melbourne Storm.
He threw a few. There was a conversation with him, to be honest. So who knows?
There was?
Yeah. There's a promoter in Sydney, Matt Rose.
You would knock on the door, wouldn't you?
He said, you want to have a proper go?
If I was a promoter, I would be heading to Bali just to sit outside.
Yeah, you just sit outside that draft sit outside there. That joint, La Favela or whatever it is.
This one for you, Jules. Greg Williams was a star drop. Dropped Mark Jackson in two punches in a sparring session at the Cats.
Diesel. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. He threw a few on the field, so I'm sure he could go.
Nathan Lovett Murray can really go.
He was
go,
good.
Lads.
No, he was good. Yeah, he was very good.
I'll pay big bucks to watch Mike Sheen and Caro. I don't think that will happen. Maybe maybe Mike Sheen and Rex Hunt.
Do you think? Oh, Rex Hunt. Do you really think people would pay money to watch two journos that can't box Gareth?
Well,
I wouldn't have thought.
What about Mark Latham as a politician? Didn't he rate himself? He wanted to take on Johnny Howard. Remember that at the election? Went toe-to-toe with Johnny, poor old Johnny.
Two different weight divisions.
There's a few issues around that one. Don't know if that's our go.
What's the big fight that you're looking forward to tonight outside of Gallen and Hall?
I'm really looking forward to the fight I just mentioned, Andrew Maloney. Like, this is a big fight on the world stage. And, these are identical twins from here in Victoria, Jason and Andrew Maloney, both of them fighting on the card tonight. So, yeah, a huge night for them to be here in front of their friends and family and all their fans in Victoria and on this show with so many eyeballs on it. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing them. And they're two of the nicest kids that you'll ever meet in boxing as well.
Okay, I was fascinated to read too recently, Jules, Dustin Martin's manager.
Yes.
Yes, he's become a superstar.
Ralph Carr,
because I think Dustin was his only client.
He had him and Shea Bolton.
Yes.
He had two clients.
and I read with interest, it's like a Jerry Maguire type of situation where now, because of all the deals that he's been getting, Dustin Martin, he's had about...
He's a man in demand, yeah, is that what you're saying?
Players want to be involved with him.
He's done it. He did a great job with Dustin's contract a couple
of
years ago.
He did, didn't he? He got $1.5 million. I think Dusty's worth every...
Absolutely, he's the best player in the competition.
Clearly?
Not clearly, but he's marginally.
Can he box?
Well, I reckon he'd go all right.
Looks the part.
He looks like a boxer.
He does. I think the other boxing sport, what's that called?
UFC.
Yeah, you don't like to mention that, do you?
I reckon that's the guy.
Yeah, I think he's more of
a wrestler. He's more of a wrestler.
Guy, he was actually drinking and holidaying with Serena Williams recently.
I did see that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good company.
All right. So I think I found that interesting. So managers, obviously, you don't really hear the managers that much in AFL, unlike, say, in the American sports.
Oh, you hear a few, but I know what you're saying. They're not quite the celebrities they are overseas.
No.
But Ralph is pretty keen on Ralph.
He is.
Mm.
Gary Ablett Senior could go a little bit, Jules.
He could go. Yeah, they reckon he was pretty scary. And Wayne Carey, they reckon, was very, very good in the ring back in the day.
What time?
Even Glenn Archer was scared to get in the ring with Wayne Carey.
A few questions coming through here, Benny. So if you're out and about tonight, what time do you really need to be home or head to the pub and time your run when you're having a few sherbets so you don't miss the fight?
I wouldn't be leaving it too late because, as I've said, this isn't the main event, Hall v. Gallon. You want to be there in time for that. Coverage starts at 7 p.m. local time, so we'll be on with a couple of fights, and they're not too bad either to get us started, and you want to see the last three, so I'd make sure you're home by 8 o'clock.
How does that work? Because that is frustrating sometimes when you're sitting at home and you're wanting to watch the main fight. And they say it goes at 9 o'clock and it's 11 o'clock.
Yeah, well, more likely that would happen internationally nowadays. Our ones are pretty well timed. You generally do know that a main event is going to start around 10 p.m. And the fights obviously work back from there. But, internationally, we saw one a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday on main event via a broadcaster in the US with Canelo Alvarez up against Sergey Kovalev. And they had just a random sort of 90-minute break before the main event. And sometimes that happens internationally. So that's beyond our control. But here in Australia, the main event's going to be about 10 p.m.
Okay. Now, Jules, footy season, the pre-season started a few clubs back.
Some. Yeah.
As a journalist, I know you've been on a little bit of a break at the moment. How do you cover that kind of early initial training period? Is there any stories?
Not really. Not yet. I mean, you only got the first of 4 years back. I talking to Johnny Ralph yesterday. Interesting. Have you seen Dan Hanabry is nicknamed Max King Winks?
Yes, because he's a superstar.
Yeah, which is... And then it's interesting because St Kilda on their social channels are calling him Winks as well.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure on the young fella.
Early doors.
And then they might knock you back for an interview because they don't want to put too much pressure on him.
Yeah.
But then they're calling him Winks.
Especially when she's a mare.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I was thinking of
it. You couldn't think about it.
A lot of pressure on him. He's played. He hasn't even played a game yet, the young fella.
I prefer to be called Farlap.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah. So, no, there's not many stories at this time of the year. Yeah. There isn't. I mean, it's only the young kids back. They've all put on weight. They're all running quicker. That happens every year. So there's not a lot going on. And if you can see, we're rating. What are we doing this week in the Herald Sun? We're rating midfields.
And Brent,
rating ruck divisions.
Yeah, BJ Goddard. Yeah. Like,
so it's not a big time of year for AFL.
No time trials just yet.
No.
There, a couple have started.
Oh, I love that.
Great.
And I love BJ.
And clubs are so precious. You're not allowed to say what the time was.
Oh, you're not?
No. You're allowed to say that, you know, they've run well or they beat last year's time, but guard the times.
What reason is
you know, in case... The time gets out, they're 20 seconds slower than, you know, the mob down the road.
Then the pressure's on.
They're very protective of the time.
It's because, like, it's not like they're a greyhound trainer or a horse trainer that are trying to hide one of their players that we can launch first up. Like, what, for the grand final sprint? They don't want to tell us how quick Dylan Buckley's running?
Very paranoid about the times getting out.
Why? I can't work that out.
Well, I think it's just they think, oh, wonder if we're not going as well as we think we are, or maybe we're going better and clubs will be wondering what we're doing. And
I tell you what, there's one side...
It's a paranoid world, the AFL.
There's one side that I think will be... That they made the finals this year, but looking at their young developing
Western
players...
Western Bulldogs?
Yeah. I love Tim English, for instance. I think he might take the next step. Not to an A-grade ruckman.
He will be eventually.
But a B+.
Yeah. No, their list is awesome. The young list, they recruited for what they needed, a key back and a key forward. And after that little blip after the premiership, they've set themselves up beautifully. And they've got a pretty good draw on paper, which can always change. But, yeah, I think if you're going to put a bit of money on someone to jump into the top four next year, Gareth, I'd be putting it on the Doggies.
Yeah, I think they'll be a serious contender. And Luke Beveridge is signed for another 2 or 3 years.
He's got another 3, and he's a very good coach. But, I did a couple of things with Brad Johnson and Dale Morris last week, and, yeah, they're pretty bullish. Actually, speaking about the paranoia of AFL players, we're talking about the time trials. Dale was talking about some of the tactics he'd used to mentally get inside his opponents, and he said some players don't want you to talk to them, where others really want. He said he played on, remember Kyle Reimers that played for Essendon?
Yeah.
And Kyle would go, he knew Kyle liked to talk, so Kyle would talk to him on the ground, and he'd just ignore him. And after the game, Dale said, oh, well done, Kyle, good game. And Kyle turned around and goes, oh, I thought you didn't like me. You weren't talking to me during the game. So, paranoid are some of these players, or insecure are some of these AFL players?
Now, there's been a lot of love for it. We've been playing some clips of famous sporting coaches delivering a speech to their certain sides or an individual player. And we found one. There's a few text messages coming through earlier on the day here on RSN Central about the clip that the AFL.com.au website played with some of the great coaches.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, we're about to listen, listen to it. See if you can pick the coaches.
Okay.
At least do something. Do. Don't think, Mick. Don't hope. Do. At least you can come up and say, I did this. Or I shepherded it. Or I played on. At least I did something.
Well, that's John. We all know that one. That's John Kennedy in the 1975 grand final when they were getting belted.
So, yeah, that worked in the end.
It did.
Text messages coming through.
No, it didn't work. They got belted.
Yeah, I play that to my under 14 kids and they got belted in the grand final. That obviously didn't work.
Maybe a little bit early for the under 10s.
I remember that when I was playing football, I got, they played the any given Sunday speech, basically. And that was meant to really
the
pump
inches
us up.
One.
Yeah. Life's a game of inches. Mm. I think they kicked 7 goals to 0 on that first quarter. I turned to the coach at quarter time. I said, where to now?
I remember we had a reserves coach when we went up to Division 1 in the AFL about 20 years ago. We were hopeless, as in the seniors and the reserves did not win one game all year. And every break, he would just say, you got to start playing for the jumper. Had nothing to do with that. Now, we were no good.
The best one in recent boxing times was Jeff Harding, who went on to win a version of the light heavyweight world title in Australian from Sydney. And his trainer was Johnny Lewis, who I mentioned earlier, the greatest Australian boxing trainer of them all. And he was fighting against Dennis Andres, and he was getting bashed and getting dropped and beaten up throughout this fight. And then eventually he just started to wear his way back into the fight. We got to the end of round 11 and he went into the corner and he had Andres in trouble. And Johnny Lewis said to him, son, I love you. You go out there and you come back a world champion. And he went out and dropped him 3 times in the next minute and won the world title.
Simple little
as
message.
As good as it gets.
Yeah.
Hugged him as well. It was just a beautiful moment.
And there's a Mikey Velasaris. You showed me a clip of some NFL action recently about the quarterback.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson's coach for the Baltimore Ravens. He gave him a clip saying, I love you. You're going to change the game.
He gave him some love.
No, gave him a speech, basically. He said, I love you. You are single-handedly going to change this game. He's a quarterback who runs the ball, and if you've seen him play, he's just absolutely amazing.
Well, how's the one with Darren Cale last week? With Simona Halep?
Yeah, I like that.
I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, and this is some people will carry on.
Oh, that's rubbish. It's a professional sport. Yeah. And you wouldn't speak to a kid like that.
No.
But a professional... I don't know why. Why don't we have coaches...
mic'd
by
up.
The court in Grand Slams.
Well,
That'd be fascinating television.
They coach
from the stands anyway.
They do, and that blowout with Serena Williams in that US final when she was accused of cheating and she carried on like a pork chop after that, really, didn't she?
She did. It's embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. Mm. And but hopefully Dustin Martin's not listening to but
so close personal friends.
I think they should mic them up.
I think it's great. That was fantastic. Darren Cale stuff.
We had this argument the other day with Wayne Hawks about 2020 racing at Flemington.
That. He wasn't a big fan.
He wasn't, but I think that would be great. And you're a thinker. You think outside the square, Benny. like 2020 racing at Flemington, you mic up the jockeys. A couple, you have a jockey coach that tells them what they want out of this particular race or how you want to go approach this race. And it'll be races every 10 or 15 minutes. And it'll be something a little bit different, but like 2020 cricket, and you're taking in the punters, but most importantly, the sporting fans inside the sport of racing.
Yeah, I think it's always a good idea to think outside the square and try something different. And racing's probably one of those sports that's been reluctant to do so, whereas most other sports have found ways of adapting to a younger demographic and giving people a better viewing experience. Maybe racing does need to have a look at a few things like that to try and get a few people who otherwise wouldn't be watching having a look.
And the argument to that when people text in, they go, Gareth, what about integrity? But if it's been... I can understand where they're coming from if the jockey's mic'd up, but you're not talking to the jockey mid-race. And
it's just when they're behind the barriers.
Behind the barriers. Yeah. They do that with cricketers these days. Like the captain, they talk to the captain of a big bash and they're asking him about his tactics and all that in the field. It's great to watch, and especially if you've got Shane Warne talking to a captain, why wouldn't you do this? Like, I think that's the way that the new world want to have their sport, take in their sport.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind hearing some from the jockeys in the run either. Like, some of those...
Get out of my way!
Yeah, but then, I don't know what it does for Matty Hill's call. Maybe we'd rather hear that than those blokes yelling at each other.
Wait a sec, they're at the 400, and wait a sec, Damien Hill, get out of my way! And then just like the special comment.
Oh, that'd be fascinating.
Yeah. I heard that Toby Green loves his boxing, recently had a sparring session with the pro and put him down to check out that... put him down. So check that out. Cheers from one of our friends there.
Yep. We always hear plenty of those. Blokes have always dropped someone.
Yeah.
Mikey?
What percentage of those would be true?
It'd be small.
Yeah.
The NBA does it the best, I reckon, with nationally televised games. They mic up one player from one of the teams.
Yep.
And then they play, you know, clips or snippets of it, you know, during timeouts or halftime breaks. And it's absolutely amazing. They're on the court with a microphone. I don't know how small this microphone is, but it is just absolute amazing insight.
Well, we tried that in AFL before, Gareth, and the only one I think worked was Luke Hodge about 3 years ago when he was at Hawthorn.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting stuff. I mean, you know, sometimes they mic up players and all you hear is, come on, boys, keep going. But it was really good instructional stuff to his young defenders. But I think in AFL it rarely works.
But like the NBL it works, I think, sometimes anyway, that they listen to timeouts.
That's good. I like the timeout stuff.
And you know what? The worst thing about all of that is some coaches accidentally swore. These idiots...
Well, we're in the corners every round in boxing, and they swear an awful lot.
And
who cares if they swear?
Not me.
We're adults.
Yeah.
So people carry on that. Like, please... The political correctness in
on
this
the
world.
English boxing broadcast, they apologise every time anyone swears, and on the American
a lot
as well.
Of apologising.
They're just spending their whole time apologising.
Boys, it's been a lot of fun.
Who are you tipping tonight, Gareth?
I'm tipping Big Bad Barry Hall to win. I think he has to knock him out, so just take the small punt. Oh, hopefully, anyway. Don't forget to back Classy Brigade today. That'll kick off our multi.
Okay.
We've got a 5-league multi here. What have we gone? We've gone Classy Brigade, Melbourne United, South East Melbourne, Phoenix, Zeelon to win tomorrow at Sandown, and Tuscan Queen to win at Ascot.
Aren't Melbourne United playing Phoenix?
Yeah, but then the Phoenix take on Adelaide in the second match.
I was going to say, it's an interesting bet.
All right, then. Thanks. Hey, you have fun tonight.
Good luck tonight,
Benny.
Yeah, we'll
do.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Big night. Really looking forward
to it. Come on,
Baz.
Thanks.
Hey, can you give RSN Central a bit of a wrap for promotion?
I'll chuck it in there.
Thanks.
As there's a stoppage in one of the big times.
Thanks for that, Jules. We'll catch up
with you.
Thank you, G. Is Johnny Ralph ready to go next week?
Oh, I'm working on him.
Oh, okay.
I'm working on him.
We're probably too big for him now.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. He should be privileged to come on.